Paul, can you hear me? Lovely to see you. It's a great morning, isn't it? Beautiful weather, great atmosphere here, and great to remember the birth of our Lord Jesus. We have some little packs for kids. Is that right? So just as I commence, if you want a pack for the... Like, you kids are going to enjoy what I have to say so much, you won't need anything to colour in. But if you feel in doubt, put your hand up, and we'll hand out these little activity packs. And... not for adults, all right? My goodness. All right, so we'll hand out these little activity packs, and if you kids draw something, if you draw something that I do in my talk, you know, one of the events of Jesus' life, come and show me afterwards. I'd love to see it, okay? So come bring it down and show me afterwards. So just keep putting your hand up. We'll get those packs out to the kids. Just while that's happening, anyone get up before 6 o'clock this morning? Anyone up before 6? Anyone up before 5 o'clock? Before 5, you're kidding. Are you serious? Is that true? What time did you get up? 10 to 5. Anyone before 10 to 5? Wardy, what were you doing? Up at 4 o'clock. Anyone beat Wardy in terms of time to get up? Yeah, what time did you get up? 5 to 4. Beat your Wardy. 5 minutes, mate. You don't get the prize. Well done, I think. What about last night? Anyone still up at midnight? Yeah, okay. It's a stressful time if you're still up at midnight. Did anyone not get any sleep last night? Bethany, but she's not... All right, okay. Here, I've got some words here. Because I want you to think about what word comes to your mind when you think about Christmas. Now, automatic number one should be Jesus, right? But just in terms of the vibe of Christmas time, what word comes to mind? So can you see that word? Joy. Is it joy? Or exhaustion? Or stress? Or misery. Now, I haven't chosen them at random. They did a survey of Australians only a few weeks ago and asked them their attitude to Christmas. And 86% said Christmas is a joyful time of year. So, you know, it's a positive time. You go down to the shops even and you can just sing along with what's going on the, you know, the loudspeaker. And no one seems to care. It's just that sort of time of year. Well, that's what I do anyway. Exhaustion... All right, exhaustion. 68% of Australians said they find it an exhausting time. Stress. 48% of Australians find Christmas stressful. Misery. How many do you think? Percentage? Guesses? 12%. You're spot on, Darren. Did you read the survey or something? 12%. 12% of Australians find Christmas a miserable time. Now, based on your glowing faces, I can't imagine that there'd be any of those here. But it is the reality, isn't it? Now, in terms of those four words, the shepherds, right? Which of those four words would capture the shepherds, right? Joy? Any other word capture the shepherds? Exhaustion, I reckon it would. I didn't think of that, but they've been out all night. Yeah, okay. They were up later than all you guys. And I was thinking another big one is stress. Stress for the shepherds. Now, let me explain why. Okay, so I'm going to cut to the nativity scene. And I want to begin with the shepherds, but then move into Jesus' life. So this is my nativity scene in a fish aquarium for the time being. And I noticed during this week... that there are actually no shepherds in my nativity scene. So you've got the animals, a few animals. You've got the innkeeper, which never gets mentioned in the Bible, but he gets a mention in my nativity scene. You've got Joseph and Mary, and there's the baby Jesus, and this big giant finger pointing down. But no shepherds. So let's... because the shepherds were actually out in the field, and I had to create my own set of shepherds. So there they are. Oh, one's facing the wrong way. I'll turn them around. There you go. You might notice that these, they double as army reservists on the weekend. So you can see this sort of commando outfit. There we go. And put a few, oh, that's a dog, a few sheep. There we go, all right? You got the idea? The cow, so I'll tuck him at the back. Okay, anyway, you're good on the shepherds. There's one lying down at the back still. Okay, now, so I just reveal this. This is all exciting for me, so I hope you enjoy it. All right, so what we're told is that the shepherds were terrified. They were terrified because an angel of the Lord appeared to them. So this is my angel from my nativity scene coming in. And what do you guys think? I don't find anything terrifying about that. That's a cute, sort of pretty angel. I thought, why would you be terrified of a cute, pretty angel? Right? And that's because it's not a very good representation of an angel from the Bible. I actually came up with my own version, far more biblically accurate. There he is. See, because you read through the Bible, angels were almost always men, and they were almost always warriors wielding a sword, right? And that's why every time an angel appears to anyone, they say, first words, do not be afraid. Why would you have to say that? It's because every time you appear, people are absolutely petrified. So you go, hey, it's okay, don't be afraid, right? Now, I know that this is not the most fearsome thing you've ever seen, but just imagine, right? Just imagine Stuart Gingell or, you know, some big Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Just lowered from the ceiling. Whoa. Okay, so that is the sort of thing. And it's interesting, throughout the Bible, whenever people come into contact with God or one of God's divine beings, an angel, that is almost always the reaction. Fall down on your face. You feel like you want to die. You feel like this is the end of me. Because when you come face to face with something so awesome and powerful and pure and good, there's actually this stark contrast is set up between them and me, and I feel like I'm going to die. And so the angel says, no, I'm not here to terrify you. I'm here to bring you good news of great joy. Calm down. Because today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And so the shepherds go off. They experience joy. But can you see why I said stress and joy? I think it's more fear or terror and joy at the birth of Jesus. And it's interesting, what's true at the birth of Jesus becomes the character of Jesus' whole life. So I'm going to totally transform this setting and bring on another setting. And this is where, for me, it gets exciting. So put these guys away. And what have we got coming up? All right. So we've got to simulate the scene where Jesus calms the sea, calms the ocean. So here we go. What have we got first? We've got some water put down there, but I'm not impressed with that completely. So I put a brick down to hold it in place. We need some water. Let's try this. Oop. I haven't given this a trial run. Watch that light there. All right, a bit more water. There's only about a centimetre or two in the bottom there at the moment. Really not going to get a storm going with that. There we go. Just sit back and relax while this happens. All right. Look, it's rising. The water level's rising. That's my... See, I should have rehearsed this. Here we go. Righto, let's go. I reckon we're going to be able to get a good effect. How does it look? Yeah, okay. All right, it'll be good. Don't worry. All right, so what happens? Jesus and his friends, right? His friends, the ones in the green, were professional fishermen, right? They spent their... Lots of them were professional fishermen, the disciples. They spent a lot of time on the Sea of Galilee, And on this particular day, they were going across, sailing across, so they didn't necessarily have a rowboat, sailing across the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was exhausted. So there he is asleep. Can you see Jesus? Right, he's asleep. Jesus is the one in the blue and the bottom of the boat, right? And what happens? You know what happens? A great storm comes. How is that? Does it look good? Whoa! Right? But wait. And the wind and the waves, right? So let's see if we can get a good bit of action here. How can I get a good bit of action here? What can I do? Got to get some waves going. Righto, there we go, right? Massive, right? This is no ordinary storm. These guys, remember, they're professional fishermen. They're a bit wet. But even as professional fishermen, the lightning's going, right? There we go. All right. Even as professional fishermen, they are terrified. So what page were we on, Scott? Page 30. They went and woke Jesus up. Master, Master, we are dying. Right? And it's Jesus stepped into our world, right? Our world where you get these natural disasters. And sometimes you come in contact with the fury of nature and it is terrifying because we are so vulnerable and so impotent to do anything about it. You know, so a great big storm or a cyclone hits, or a tsunami comes your way, or flood, or earthquake, or volcano, or whatever it is, we just get used to living in a world where there's great terror and fear around us. And somehow we don't like it, we know it's there, but we manage just to get on with our lives because it doesn't intrude on our lives every day. Right? But somewhere around the world, there will be a natural disaster taking place, bringing great fear and terror and grief. But it's different when Jesus comes onto the scene. So you've got this massive storm. Jesus' disciples are saying, Master, Master, save us. We're going to drown. We're going to die. And Jesus gets up. Right? He's been rubber banded in there. He gets up, stands up, and he says, stop. Right? And all of a sudden, right, the storm goes away, and it's calm. Right? There he is. Oh, it's sunk now. just get a bit of water out of there. It was much better than this in real life, okay? It's hard. It's very hard to simulate just how dramatic the event really was. But where was my point, right? Now, what was the disciples' reaction? Right? Just have a look there. Second new paragraph on page 30. He said to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and astonished and said to one another, "Who then is this? That he commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him." You see their response? Right? The storm is terrifying. The storm leaves us feeling like we're going to die. But someone comes along, and just with a word, he says, stop. And the wind and the waves obey him, and the storm immediately ceases. That is even more terrifying. Who is this man? His disciples say they've been with him for a few years, but they just cannot put him into a category. It's interesting, just a few pages earlier, I won't get you to turn there, but a few pages earlier, they're on the lake again. They were fishing all night, and they couldn't catch any fish. And Jesus said, "Well, just throw your nets on the other side of the boat." And they said, "Oh, come on, look, we've been fishing all night, there's nothing there." Jesus said, "Just trust me on this." So they throw their net overboard, and there's this truckload of fish that they pull up into the boat, so much so that the boat was sinking, right? Don't have to simulate that too much. And what was their reaction on that occasion? Again, they were terrified, and Peter himself, Peter, the sort of head disciple, Peter says,
Lord, go away from me because I am a sinful man. Lord, go away from me for I am a sinful man. You see, Peter sees the power, the majesty, the goodness of Jesus, and all of a sudden his own weakness and sinfulness is brought into stark reality, and his response to Jesus' miracle is, Lord, go away from me. I cannot stand in your presence. And I reckon this is one of our biggest problems when it comes to thinking about God and Jesus and relating to God. And that is, we always compare ourselves to one another. So did you know that 80% of Australian men think they're above average in sport? Right? Now, the figures just don't add up, but I know I am, and I, you know, probably 80% of the guys here are. So there's some sort of... Anyway, it just doesn't make sense. But I think we think the same about morality. That is, I reckon 80% of Australians would say that they're better than average in terms of just morality. You know, and it's not hard to reinforce that. You just have a look around. Have a look around in this room and you start feeling, hey, I'm not going too badly, right? So I might, you know, get angry, I might lie occasionally, but, you know, compared to the sort of things that people around me do, I'm actually not going too badly. Our problem is we compare ourselves to one another when we really need to compare ourselves to Jesus, right? The standard of what God is looking for. Right? And when Peter compares himself to Jesus, he is petrified. And his reaction is, Lord, go away from me. I am a sinful man. My weakness and sin has been brought into stark reality through meeting you. Okay, so I want to take you to one more scene, right? And it's in chapter 8 again. See, what happens is the disciples and Jesus are sailing across the Sea of Galilee and they come to the region of the Gerasenes. You see it in the third paragraph there of page 30. So let's transform our scene again. Okay, let's see what we can do here. All right, I better get these guys out of here first. Ring them out. Okay. Oh, this is heavy. Righto. Just got some sand and let's create a beach. Oh, there we go. How good is that? That's all right, isn't it? Again, I don't try these things out before I do it. I just have a good crack. Oh, there's even a little pond created. I better. Righto. Okay, so they come to the region of the Gerasenes. And there, find a number of things. Put a palm tree, just for effect. Just because I had one. Is that good? Yeah. And then there's some pig farmers in the background. That was the only pig I had, but it just looked a bit too big. So I'll leave it there in the background. Right? Just tuck him in the... yep, he's sneaking around the corner. All right, and there we go. A couple of littler pigs. They couldn't be the piglets, if you like. All right, okay. Anyway, and there was a whole herd of pigs, but they're not the focus of the action. The focus of the action... is this madman. Now I've just got to... I've lost him. I've pulled his body apart. Let's see if we can put him back together. Oh, he's not looking so well.
Where is the rest of... Ah, here he is.
Oh my goodness, this is unbelievable. Here we go. All right, I'm going to have to hold him there. Sorry. Let's have a look at him, right? All right, where is he? So I just wanted you to get the effect of it. There he is. So he was actually running around naked. So, but I thought, no, this is a G-rated sort of Christmas service. But this is like your punk. Can we zoom in on punk rocker, dude? Okay. So there he is. He even got a tattoo on his stomach. And right. So here, this guy. He really becomes the focus of what happens in the next little while because he is a madman who's been running around this region of the Gerasenes, right? And they've tried to chain him up, they've tried to bind him, but he just keeps breaking free. And so all the people in the local community live in somewhat of a fear all their lives. Some, like, they can get on with life, but they know just lurking in the wilderness outside of town is this crazy man, right? Who's, you know, they can hear him howling at night and they just think, there's something scary and dangerous out there and I can't control it, right? And what's more, we find out that this guy has been afflicted or been possessed by demons, by dark supernatural forces. Right? Now, we come across... I'll just try to... Oh, he's falling apart. I'm going to have to try to put him... We come across people like this guy in our society too, don't we? People that are scary, people that have a real dark side to them, and you think, is there something demonic going on here? We come across people who we just can't control, and they can be violent and abusive, and sometimes it's because they've been treated violently and abusively themselves. And what we do, we can't control them, so what we do is we try to confine them to the edges of society, so that whilst we can't control them, we can actually push them away so we can get on with our lives without having to think about it too much, without having to come in for some ugly confrontation. But what happens is I don't know how to put him there. There he goes. He's not going to stay up. All right. When Jesus comes into contact with this guy, everything changes. And that is, he says to the man... Jesus has to come onto the scene, doesn't he? Here he is. Jesus says to the man, "What is your name?" And he says, "I am Legion, for there are many of us." And it's almost like this guy has become so overpowered by these dark forces that he doesn't even speak for himself. It's the demon speaking. "I am Legion, there are many of us." But straight away, these dark forces recognise Jesus as a man of great power. And so their first thought is, how do we protect ourselves? And so they say to him, "Please do not send us into the abyss. Right? Don't confine us to eternal darkness. Cast us out into those pigs." Right? And Jesus, agrees with their request. I'm just going to put him there because he's a bit delicate. Jesus agrees to their request, and what happens is the pigs are now possessed by these demons, go charging off the cliff and drown, right, in the ocean. They are. And so at this point, these guys, the pig farmers, they head off, right? They head off to town to get a few other people. And I didn't have any extras, so the shepherds are going to have to make a return as the people of the Gerasenes, okay? So they're not shepherds any longer. Here they come. They've come back. The whole sort of, you know, district has come back to investigate what's taken place. And they come back and they find this guy. He's just going to be a torso from now on, I'm sorry. But you wouldn't know, would you? Thank you. All right. So they find this guy who they'd never been able to control, who terrorised their district. They find him now dressed, sitting down. There he is, sitting down, and in his right mind. And what does it say? What's their response? So down the bottom of page 30, "When those who were looking after the pigs saw this, they fled. They reported it to those in the city and in the country, who then came out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had been driven out, sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind." And their response? They were afraid. "Those who had seen it all explained how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all those from the region of the Gerasenes asked him to go away from them, for they were gripped with great fear, and getting back into the boat, he returned across the lake." You hear what happens? See, these people from the Gerasenes have been living all their life in this shadow of fear, right, with a madman in the hills beyond their town. Right? Jesus comes along and fixes it, brings wholeness and restoration to this man, but their response is, Lord, go away from us, Jesus. We don't want you here. And you think, that, surely that is craziness. Why would you drive Jesus away? Well, I think it's because Jesus was even more threatening to them than the madman roaming the hills. Right? Because at least with the madman roaming the hills, they could get on with their life. It wouldn't impact them too personally. But here has come among them, in the person of Jesus, someone with such power, such authority, that he threatens to change their lives. He actually threatens perhaps even to expose them. They fear the unknown that this man, Jesus, will bring, and so they push him away. Just like they did with the madman, they confine him to the edges, and they just want to get on with their ordinary, everyday lives. We don't want to know about Jesus. Now, I just want to sort of just summarise by just, I suppose, talking about these three groups of people. Now, where are we? So here are the people from the region. Can you see that? I'll put the demon-possessed guy over here. Can you see him all right now? I'll give him a bit of sand to sit on. There we go. Dip Jesus, get his sand off him, and the disciples. Here they are. All right. There they are. Now, can you see them all? Okay, stay there. That's Peter trying to jump out of the boat again. All right. So, three groups of people. The people from the Gerasenes, the demon-possessed guy, and Jesus' disciples. And I want to ask you which of those best represents you? Which of those best represents you? All right, so is it... there we go. There we go. I'll just put it in front of it. Is it the people from the Gerasenes? That is, I reckon most Australians are in this sort of category. They surveyed Australians a few weeks ago. 55% of Australians say Jesus is the Son of God. And most Australians, even if they don't say that, most Australians have a suspicion that Jesus is the real deal, that there's something real, that he really did live, he really did die, and he really was from God. Most Australians have a suspicion that that's true, but just like the people of the Gerasenes, they push him away because they say, no, I'm making a choice. I want to live my life. I want to feel in control of my life. Jesus is someone with such power and authority that he threatens to change me, that he threatens to turn my life upside down. I just want to get on with my life, with me in the driver's seat. I reckon most Australians are just like the people of the Gerasenes. And I want to urge you, don't be like that. It is craziness to suspect the truth about Jesus, but to push him away. You will have to come face to face with him one day, sooner or later. Now it can be as your saviour. When he comes again, it will be as your judge. Don't push Jesus away now while he holds out the offer of forgiveness and eternal life. Come on to the next guy, the disciples. Now it's interesting with the disciples, they have a very similar reaction, don't they? They see the power and authority of Jesus. Their first reaction, Lord, go away from me. I am a sinful man. But the thing about the disciples is they move beyond fear to actually get to know more about what Jesus was on about. And they found that they found that Jesus didn't come to terrify them. Jesus hadn't come to make them fearful and guilty. Jesus had come, in fact, to save them as their saviour. He'd actually come to do away with our fears. So when Jesus died on the cross, he dealt with our great fears, death and judgment. Death and what comes beyond death, that is judgment. They are the great fears of humanity. Jesus, in his death on the cross, takes the fear away from those things because he brings forgiveness. Right? And the disciples, in moving beyond their fear to recognize Jesus as King and Saviour, came to experience the joy of knowing him, and they devoted their lives to him. Is that you? Well, the third one is this demon-possessed guy. Well, the guy who had been demon-possessed, but now he ends up the most sane person in this whole account. Because now that he's been healed by Jesus, he turns to Jesus and he pleads to go with Jesus. But Jesus says, no, you stay here. And what he does is he runs off into all the villages, busting to tell people the great things that Jesus has done for him. Now, the thing about this guy is, he didn't have the sort of pride that so many of us had. Right? He was a broken man who received healing and forgiveness. He didn't have the sort of reputation that we have. So as soon as he experienced Jesus' power in his life, he devoted himself to Jesus unashamedly. So now, which best represents you? Right. People of the Gerasenes, the crazy man who's received a touch from Jesus, or the disciples. I want to plead with you, just as I finish, don't be like the people of the Gerasenes. Right? Don't push Jesus away just in order to get on with your life. You'll have to face up to Jesus sooner or later. And he wants to bring you forgiveness. That's why he came, to do away with your fears. I want to just make a couple of things to say. Well, one is, we run this course called Simply Christianity. And it's a great... It's the information's on the back of your newsletter. It will be up on the screen in a sec. But we'd love you to come and join us and investigate for yourself who Jesus is, the historical claims behind his life, to find out more. So that's happening in February, but you can let us know today. Yeah, I'd be interested in hooking into that course, because I can't keep pushing Jesus away. I need to come to grips with who he is and what it means for me. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. God our Father, we want to say we are sorry, firstly. We are sorry for the way that we do wrong things, but even worse, that we push you and your son Jesus aside and we just get on with life as if we were the boss. Father, we pray that we won't do that anymore. We want to put Jesus back in his place, his rightful place in our lives. Father, we want to thank you for Jesus, for his power, his authority, for his goodness and love. Thank you that he came to save us, and by his death and resurrection, he takes away our fears. And so, Father, please forgive us, please change us, and please help us to live joyfully with Jesus as our King, our Saviour, and worship him not just today, but all our days. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.